Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Worship. Today we'll be talking about how Jesus leads you from being curious about Him to making a commitment to Himself. I've been there, you've been there, and some of you are in it. So stick around and let's find out how one moves by the power of the Holy Spirit in the grace of Jesus Christ, being a curious seeker to a committed believer. Stick around. I want to also thank everyone joining us and a special warm welcome to the family of Timothy Garrett. You get to witness the baptism of little Timothy. So all the families and relatives and guests, welcome. Let us worship the Lord. And now here is Pastor Christopher.
How many of you guys like a really good secret? A secret where you just lean in, your ears prick up, and you're really curious as to what the person's going to say. Don't you remember those times when you're in high school or junior high? Maybe you're with your best friend. They're sitting right next to you in class, and he or she, or maybe you have a secret to tell them. Something funny, something about another person, and you're all giggles and laughing, and it brings you two closer together. I remember a time when I was in grade 4. It's kind of a silly story. But there was a time where there's a new classmate, a new boy that just recently joined our room, our class. I think this was just, you know, a few weeks into this school year. And there happened to be an empty desk, an empty chair right next to me. And so that's where he sat. And over the course of that day, I leaned over and I told him a secret. And he said, "Psst, guess what? I just farted." We both laughed and chuckled and giggled, and from that day on, we became best buddies. Maybe a lot hasn't really changed, but my point is this. We all love a good secret. When someone has a secret for us, our ears perk up, we tilt our necks forward, we crane our necks forward, and we lean in. And so today, there's a secret that I want us to hear, and for you to all lean in this morning. And so our word, our scripture, comes actually from the book of Matthew. And we're looking at chapter 13, verses 3 to 9, and then the interpretation afterwards in verses 18 to 23. So let's go ahead and grab our Bibles. And for some of you, if you've been in the church for a while, you've probably heard this parable before. It's a classic one. But if you haven't and maybe need a reminder, then again, I hope that you're able to just lean in because we need to really understand this, your truth, and the way you disclose it to us, uncover it for us, Lord. And Father, we have this veil over our eyes. We cannot see. We're limited in what we can see, O Lord. And so, Father, we ask that you would just tear that veil and reveal to us your truth this morning. So, Father, soften the hearts and the ears of those who are listening today so that they would really, truly receive your word. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So let's take a look at this truth in Matthew 13, verses 3 to 9, and then we'll skip over to verses 18 to 23. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced the crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Let's skip to verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This month, in this series that we're doing, it's called In His Shoes, and we're taking a look at what it means to be a disciple of Christ, to imitate our life, pattern our life after Him. And we understand that it kind of happens in these phases, these stages. And so we are working closely with a book called The Four Chairs of Discipling by Dan Spader. And in that book, he has and outlines a model of how we progress through these different stages. And so in stage one, or chair one, he has a seeker. So these are people who, you know, don't know who Christ is, and they just hear the command, come and see. There's chair two, who are the believers, and they heed and follow through with the command, follow me. And then in chair three, they are the worker. And in chair four, they are the multiplier. And again, friends, I want us to understand that we're not seeking perfection, but we're seeking progression here. And so the point of the book isn't to be, you know, the best Christian and needing to be in chair number four. But the point of the book is to help us to understand where we stand in our spiritual journey. And of course, God challenges us, the Holy Spirit challenges us to move a little bit closer to what Christ has in store for us and to imitate His character a little bit more. And so, friends, we need to understand that our Christian walk, our journey, is an uphill battle. And there are times, many times in our lives, where we're thinking we're doing pretty good, we're doing okay, we're not doing bad things. But the thing is, maybe our car is in neutral and we're slowly sliding back. And so my challenge for you is to think about what we can do, just one little baby step, to progress in our spiritual journey with Christ. And so last week we looked at chair one, which is the seeker stage, or seeker chair. Today is chair number two, or stage two, the believer. And so if you don't remember anything today, the thing I want us to remember this morning is that a true believer in Christ moves from curiosity to commitment. A true believer in Christ moves from curiosity to commitment. And so if curiosity is about our ears perking up for us to lean forward and crane our heads, then I commend you to do that. And I encourage you to do that this morning. And so when Christ says, follow me, this is where we obey him. And we actually drop our nets and follow after him. It doesn't mean we continue fishing, but it means that we understand that he's calling us to a greater purpose. That's not no longer about our business here on earth, but it's about the business of the kingdom of heaven. That's far greater and of far more importance. And so in our passage today, Jesus describes a farmer, a sower, sowing his seeds, spreading his seeds. And at the time, this is a job that most people would understand. They would understand the life of a farmer. Agriculture was very much part of their daily lives. And here in particular, we're told about the different environments and the different outcomes. And so we're told that there was seed that fell on the path, seed that fell among the rocks, seed that fell among the thorns, and then finally seed that landed on good soil. But before we explore those different soils and the different environments, we need to actually look at verses 1 and 2 to really understand the context of where Jesus is sharing this parable. So let's look at verses 1 and 2 here. It says this in his word. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. So it's a very small detail, but we have to understand that Jesus is not preaching to the whole crowd here, but he's actually separated. He's in the lake, in a boat, away from the crowd, and he's actually talking to his disciples here. And he addresses the believers here. He's addressing the ones who are committed. And I raise this point because it's important for us to understand this, that it's God who's the one who illuminates our hearts and our minds to understand his truth. And so no matter how much we look at our Bibles to study it, it's not based on our effort, but God actually revealing that truth to us. But on the same note, there's verse 9 that says, whoever has ears, let them hear. And so I encourage you, friends, to be curious, to really lean in into this text this morning. I'm talking about a deep spiritual sort of listening, a kind of listening where you're not just opening your ears, but you're opening your hearts. That you're placing yourself in a position where the Holy Spirit can really drive his truth into your heart that's been softened. So friends, let's pay attention. In fact, the Greek word here for hear in verse 9, it actually means to heed, to pay attention, to understand in a way that it leads to obedience. It's like when I'm in class and, you know, we have quizzes actually each week at the very beginning of each class for the first 15 minutes. And so our professor in the class before, he or she, we have two profs, they'll drop us some hints. They'll be like, oh, this will be on the quiz. And they actually state it like that. And they say, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, pay attention. So I make sure to write down, highlight it, because I need to come back to this concept. I need to look for it in the textbook, make sure I got it down pat, that I've memorized it, that I fully understand what's going on here. And the same goes for us. Jesus here is saying, hey, disciples, listen. Listen to this truth that I'm going to uncover for you here. And so here Jesus, he's actually quite generous and even offers an explanation for his parable. He doesn't do this for all of his parables, but in this one in particular, he explains the different soil environments and what that means in receiving God's word. And so from the text here, we can of course deduce that the farmer is God, the sower. The seed is the word, or it's referred to the message of the kingdom of God. And of course, the different soil environments, I would say, is the level and the depth of our understanding of God's word. And so we see the seed that fell on the path, right? This is seed that didn't even fall onto soil. And so these are people who simply just lack understanding. And so the bird or Satan quickly takes the seed away. The second environment is the rocky soil. So the soil is thin. These people, they spring up, the seeds spring up quickly. There's a lot of joy, a lot of enthusiasm, but then they quickly fizzle out. And it's because they lack inner conviction. Scripture says that they lack roots. And so I'm reminded of the people who are in the crowds and they follow after Jesus because of the many miracles, the healing, the abundance of food, perhaps, he can provide. These are the people who are the fans who follow the sports team when they're doing well, when they make it into the playoffs. But once they don't make the playoffs, when no one's really talking about their team, they don't really care about the team so much. This is different from the followers. The followers of their sports team that make sure to watch every game, win or lose. They watch them all. And so, friends, these are the people. For when suffering comes, they quickly fall away. And so, in our scripture, it says that the sun became scorching. It's like the people right now, it's so cold. We're wishing and hoping for 30 plus weather. We wish it was summer right now. But it's those same people that when summer rolls around and it actually is plus 30, then they wish it wasn't so hot. People, it's when we go into our car and it's so hot, you know, the seatbelt burns us on the shoulder. And so at the slightest hint of suffering, when the sun becomes too hot, these people just wither away because God's not performing the miracles that they want. Those external rewards aren't coming. And so these are people who lack inner conviction. They lack the deep roots. The third environment are the seeds that were thrown among the thorns. And so this implies that there's already some competition here. In fact, the word here says those who hear. So these are people who have understanding of the gospel. These are people who have understanding of God's word. There's competition. Competition with what? With the worldly things. With the worries of this world. For the wealth of this world that provides security. There might be some of us who, you know, look to the stock market and we say, oh my goodness, look at that GameStop stock. It's going up. I got to invest into that. All my friends, everyone is doing it. I've got to get in it too. And you start stressing and worrying if you're going to make a profit or if you're going to lose money. And so these people get choked out by the worries of the world. Their security is not truly in Jesus, the only possession that they truly need, but in the things of this world. I'm reminded of this story in Matthew 19. There's the story of the rich young man. And he comes up to Jesus and he asks Jesus, "What must I do to get into heaven?" And he's obeyed all the commandments. And Jesus says to him, "Go and sell all of your possessions. Give to the poor." And in the story, we're told that this man walks away with a long face and sunken shoulders. He walks away in sadness and sorrow. And it's here Jesus turns to his disciples and says the famous lines of how it's much easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because friends, true disciples, followers of Christ, are the ones who give up everything, their possessions, knowing that Jesus is their only true possession that's worthy of everything else. And then lastly, of course, we have the good soil. And these are people who understand completely the kingdom of heaven, and they show that through their action. They're invested, they're committed. And that you yield crop. And the Greek word here is karpos for crop, which actually means fruit as well. And so these are people who start to bear fruit because they are invested in the kingdom. So they have embraced the grace and the truth of Jesus Christ. They have warded off the evil one. They have overcome and endured difficulties and trials and obstacles. And they're not defined by the worldly cares and the wealth that this world has to offer. And I think often when we hear this story, we're like, yeah, Jesus, and we nod and we say, yes, of course, I want to be like that rich, good soil. I want to be like that. But if we're really honest with ourselves and really honest with God, I would say that all of us have these four different soils in our hearts, operating at different times. And so sometimes we have seed that just falls away. We have seed in a heart that, you know, competes with the thorns. We have seed that gets quickly choked out, and seed that does start to sprout some good fruits. But I want us to kind of take a look at this story in a different light. Let's, for a moment, I know the focus of the text is, you know, on the soil environments and the outcomes, but let's consider the farmer for a moment. Let's consider the sower of the seeds for a moment. I mean, just think about how he's spreading his seed. Like this farmer, when I think about him, when I was studying this word, it just seems like this farmer is kind of reckless, almost careless in a sense. I mean, why is he even getting seed onto the path and not even getting into the soil? It's like he's just throwing it wherever. Consider God. Why is God sowing seed in this way? And the simple answer is this: because God is a gracious God. Think about us. Think about how Jesus operates. See, Jesus doesn't throw out his invitation to those sitting in the front row, to those who seem worthy of his word, to those who have the credentials and those who will respond accordingly. If you look at Jesus' ministry and his life, he hung out with the lepers. He hung out with the tax collectors. He hung out with the demon-possessed. He hung out with the outcasts and the marginalized and those on the fringes of society. And what about us? Yes, in our limited minds, these farming methods don't seem so great, but what about us? Aren't we also, in spite of our sinfulness, hasn't God reached out to us as well? In spite of our shortcomings, in spite of us falling short of the glory of God, in spite of us seeking the things of this world instead of Him, in spite of us having these worries and cares that overwhelm us at times, in spite of us having one foot in the world and one foot in the Word, God continues to reach out to us, and He pursues us, and He invites us. We might not agree with His methods, but He promises an abundant harvest. And in light of our series this month on discipleship, I want to take it a step further and consider why Jesus shares this parable with His disciples. Perhaps it's because He wants His disciples to be the sowers themselves. He wants them to expand and go forth and expand the kingdom of heaven. And so this word is also for some of us who believe we are a mature believer. Perhaps we believe that we are in the third chair. We're a worker. We understand the mission and vision of God. And so we serve God's people. We serve the church. We serve His kingdom. But let's consider our evangelistic efforts. Don't we often play it safe? Don't we often, you know, share a story of how God worked in our lives to those who we think will be receptive? Don't we hold tightly to our resources? In this parable, we're shown that if we truly understand the mission and the vision of God, well, then we have the liberty and the freedom to take risks for the gospel. We can be generous with our sowing of the seed. We can go forth in those places and to those people who we think in our minds are utterly hopeless, because those are the ones who need hope. Yes, we might question the farmer's methods, but Jesus promises, He promises a fruitful yield, an abundant harvest. And so, friends, I want to ask, where is your understanding of God's kingdom? Are you a believer of Christ that is moving from curiosity to commitment? And so I just want to wrap up here with three things of how we can live this out. I've already mentioned one already, but three other ones. And the first is this: for those of you who are still seeking, who might think, oh, you know, I'm still checking out the claims of Jesus Christ. I'm still, you know, trying to figure out if he's the right fit in my life. Well, I just want to say to you, go all in. And yes, we can consider the cost, calculate the cost of what it means to truly follow after him, what it might look like if we were to surrender our lives to him, how that might affect our relationships, how that might affect how we look in front of our friends and colleagues. But friends, there comes a point in time where we have to stop those calculations, stop with the calculations of the odds, and at the poker table just simply push in all of our chips and say, hey, I'm all in. And that entails repentance. And repentance means turning 180 degree and going the other direction and saying, you know what, I'm not no longer going to follow after myself. Follow after the Savior, the one who calls me to a greater purpose, something more worthy to follow. The second one is this: know your identity in Christ. So here I'm talking more to those who might say they're in chair too. Know your identity in Christ. And we're often told, read your Bibles, read scripture, get into the word daily. And that's what we're doing right now in this series. And yes, it's to establish that relationship with God. But another purpose of it is to understand, remind ourselves of our identity in Christ. Right? We need to go to our scripture to remind ourselves, and even daily, preach to ourselves the gospel over and over, because we so easily forget whose we are. We so easily forget who we are in Christ. We're fickle-minded. We're easily distracted by the things of this world. And we need a constant reminder of who God is and who we are in God. So friends, know your identity in Christ. That we've been adopted, that we've been chosen, that we've been set apart, that we've been sealed and stamped by the Holy Spirit, that we are made alive in Christ. And now we have the confidence to approach his throne of grace at any time. Friends, know your identity in Christ. And the last one is this: go from report to rapport. Go from report to rapport. So if you want to grow as a believer in Christ, there needs to be an evolution, a change in your prayer life. And so instead of going to God, you know, telling him maybe the bad things that happened to your day or the stressful things that are, you know, haunting you or disturbing you or distressing you or that person or that situation, your prayer life needs to evolve in that you're actually building rapport with God. And so is it just a one-way street where you're just telling God things, or are you listening to what he's saying to you as well? So my question would be, how do you know that God is speaking to you? How do you know that you've heard from the Lord? Do you know when he's speaking to you clearly through his scripture? Do you know when he's communicating to you through circumstances or even through the word, through another brother and sister in Christ? Friends, let's move from simply reporting to building rapport with God. Friends, I want to pray for you. And for those of you who are still seeking and you're still not sure of who God might be, then I want to lead you through a prayer of commitment. And maybe for some of you that need to rededicate your lives even, this is also for you. So follow after me and pray this prayer. If you're still kind of on the fence about who God is for you, let's pray. And just follow after me. Father God, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. And forgive me for my shortcomings, my sins, my failure. And I simply want to make you Lord of my life. forgive me for my sin, and that I may now follow after you. Make that step of commitment out of faith and out of obedience for your kingdom, for your glory. Now I just want to pray for the church, for those of you who utter and profess that you are a believer of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And yes, this parable here, you don't simply just exhort us to simply be the good soil. But again, we're reminded of how gracious you are. Your methods don't really, we don't really understand it, oh God. But the one thing we understand is that you are gracious. And you throw your seed to every one of us, even in those places where it doesn't look promising. And you promise that there will be good fruit, a good yield. And so, friends, I just pray that God, you would give them help, give them mercy, to invite them again into your fold, into your presence, to develop that relationship with you, to fully help them to realize whose they are in Christ, and to work on that rapport with you. You're not just someone who gives us miracles. You're not just someone that we go to when we're troubled or distressed. You're much more than that. And for some of us who just need that challenge, help us to see where we can grow in our walk with you, simply, Lord. Help us. I pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.